All right. Thank you. Jeremiah. All right. Wow. Jeremiah chapter 12. What's that? You're hungry? Must have been that song, Come and Dine, right? All right. Well, I'm privileged to be here today. This is a great looking crowd. Of course, the lights are so bright I can't see anybody. But I'm assuming you're out there because of all the noise. And the balcony looks extra great tonight, or this morning. Can't see up there. Jeremiah chapter 12. They mentioned that we're having a guitar class, English, and we're doing Spanish too. I'm bilingual in guitar, and so we're going to be doing both. We're also talking about Jay and John Allen. How many know the Allen boys? Okay. I taught them in high school. And when they were freshmen, I remember I came into the classroom and they weren't there. And I thought, that's not like them to both be gone. And so I taught the class. At the end of class, when the bell rang, all of a sudden my closet door opened and they came out. Somebody had talked them into getting in the closet and hiding, and I guess they didn't tell them when to come out or what, I don't know. So that was kind of interesting. So Brother Mitchell mentioned I taught him in high school, and... In seriousness, he was a class act even in high school. I remember saying one day, he's going to be in charge of the college someday. Actually, I didn't say that, but it doesn't surprise me that he's doing things out here. He was a man of great character. And Brother Anthony Collins, I can't say anything good about him, but Brother King. No, Brother Collins, he and I go way back with skits and videos, and we got some memories right in here from years ago, a video we shot like 3 a.m. You'll have to ask him about that. And I haven't known Brother King very long, but I taught his wife in high school. So I'm an old guy. I'm just telling you, I'm just an old man. All right. Jeremiah chapter 12. Hopefully you've been able to find it by now. Jeremiah, if you read about his life, he probably went through more troubles and trials than any prophet in the Old Testament. Now, Job obviously went through the most trouble and trials in the Old Testament. But as far as prophets were concerned, Jeremiah probably went through the most difficulty. He's known as the weeping prophet. And just by simply telling God's message, he was beaten, he was falsely accused, he was in prison, and his own family and friends forsook him and even tried to kill him. And so in the passage that we're going to look at here in just a moment, Jeremiah is basically complaining to God. And I cannot criticize him for complaining because I've not been through anything near to what he had been going through. But he was talking about how rough things were, and they were rough. But God answers him with this interesting statement. And so we're going to look at that in Jeremiah chapter 12. Look in verse number 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? And basically what God was saying to Jeremiah, saying, Jeremiah, I know you have rough. I don't deny that. I understand that totally. You haven't seen anything yet. And if you're complaining about this, what are you going to do when things get worse? Because they're going to get worse. If you're complaining about the level of problems now that it's just currently taken, what are you going to do when the problems get much greater? And again, I cannot criticize Jeremiah. I probably would have complained more than that. I would have been crying. It's not fair. But nonetheless, God still gave him this comparison. The title of my message is very simple. Just keep running with the footman. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I need your help today. I pray that you'll fill me with thy spirit. Lord, please work in every heart. Lord, someone is here today, Lord, that's in their mind they've had it. and it's time to just quit. Maybe the plans are for someone, Lord, or maybe several people. They're going for Thanksgiving just to kind of stay there. And Lord, I don't know all the situations, but if I knew, I might just say, boy, I don't blame you. That's rough. But God, I pray that you'll help us realize that there's something bigger in life that's going on here. And Lord, please just speak to our hearts today. Amen. When I was in high school, I know you don't believe this, but I played sports. And chess, checkers. But it was battle chess. We had knives and everything. It was brutal. I played football in high school. I know it's hard to believe that. I was a wide receiver. I was also the punter on our football team. And it was kind of weird because I'm right-handed in everything I do except I kick left-footed. So I don't know why. I was just made that way. But I was also on the track team. Now, when I was in high school, the event that I ran was the 880-yard run or the half mile. Now, I can't even drive that far now. I have to pull over and take a rest. But back then, I was the man. Yeah. And I don't know how you know, but anyway, I'm sure you know. But so a few weeks before the first track meet, I started running. I figured I probably should start doing that. And so the half mile, in case you don't know, it's two laps around the track that goes around the football field, basically. And so I started running and getting in shape. And boy, after a couple of weeks, man, I thought, man, this has gotten easier and easier. And I was feeling real good. I mean, I could picture myself, you know, getting that little ribbon thing around my neck and, you know, standing up. Thank you, yes. I mean, I had visions of grandeur. And because I could run two laps and I was good. I mean, I still had some energy left. And I remember the day before the first track meet, I think I was a sophomore, I might have been a junior, but the day before the first track meet, there was a guy who was a senior, his name was Bill McHugh, and I said, hey, Bill, can you run one lap with me just to kind of show me the pace that's going to be tomorrow? And he goes, sure. So we ran a lap, and he just took off and left me, and I thought, he's just showing off. Anybody can run one lap fast. And so when I finally came back 3 days later to where he was, I said, okay, Bill, it's not that fast. He goes, yeah, you're right. It's probably a little faster than that. And I thought, yeah, right. Well, the next day was a track meet. And guess what? Bill was right. Now, I didn't come in last place. There was a wheelchair behind me. And only because I took off my headband and threw it in the spokes. His family was very mad at me after that, but oh well. You got to do what you can to win. All's fair, love, war, politics, and track meets. But what I learned the hard way was that I should have asked Bill McHugh a long time before that, so I could have been getting ready for that race. Now, when the race was over, let me tell you what I did. And my girlfriend was there watching me. Ooh. You say, when you finished, did you run greet her? No, I ran past her to the back of the stands, and I threw up. I really did. Because I was out of shape for that. And she wouldn't kiss me after that. But she didn't anyway. Right? We didn't kiss. Just in case you're wondering, listen, shut up, reprobates. Just for the record, our first kiss was on at the marriage altar. Of course, we went to the altar 3 months early so we could kiss. Anyway, but... A wedding day, that's the first one. But what I learned is something that I should have done. I should have been prepared more for that. Now, it would have taken more effort for me. I would have had to work harder. But when I was running that race where it really counted in front of everybody and my girlfriend, then I wouldn't have looked as bad. And I wouldn't have thrown up as much. It's no fun throwing up, is it? Isn't that the worst feeling in the world? No, the worst feeling is getting ready to. And then once you do, we're good now. I don't know how I got off on that. We should be talking about that right before lunch. But anyway, I digress. But what I want to do is I want to take this little story here, this this challenge that God gave to Jeremiah, and I want to do an analogy with us here in this room. And I believe, as a college student, we're going to divide your life into three areas. Back home, where you grew up and lived most of your life before you came here. The second area, college life. Okay, those 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 years that you spend here in college, however long it takes. And then the third level is the ministry. So home would be peace, comfort, good memories, family. College would be like running with the footman. That's where you are now. You are running with the footman. It's a lot harder than being at home. Okay? Life is more hectic now for you than it was when you were at home. Life is more complicated now for you than when you were at home. You're probably not getting as much sleep as you did at home. But you will make up for it at Thanksgiving. Can I get an amen to that? Okay. Getting up at the crack of noon, I'm sure, every day. All right? So I want to look at these three areas, and I want to try to encourage you and let you, and hopefully you'll realize the importance of these areas. So let's go back. Let's look at home now. I had a great childhood. I really did. And not all of you had a great childhood. I understand that, but most of you did. Most of you had a very good childhood. You've got good parents. You've got good memories. And if you were like me, it was hard for me to leave home and come to college. I grew up in Kentucky. It's about 6 or 7 hours from here. And I was just a homebody. I'd never been away from home hardly at all. In fact, I never left the house. I'm just kidding. But I love my home. I love living on a farm in Kentucky. I loved it. We had dirt bikes, my brother and I. We'd ride out all the time. We got home from school. We're in the South. We had guns. I had a .22 rifle. We'd go out and shoot anything that moved out there. And go quail hunting. I mean, it was great. I had a great childhood. Really, really great childhood. And many of you probably know I have a twin brother. And he was a great companion. We looked alike. We dressed alike as little kids. We thought the same way. I remember one time we were at a Christmas program or a Sunday school department, and they drew names, and we drew each other's names. Just happened to. And so my mom took us both to the department store, and one at a time she took us to the toy department. And so I picked out a toy. I picked out a little police car. Never seen it before. It wasn't advertised. I just saw it. I thought, that's cool. I want that. So I told mom, I want that. I'm going to get that for my brother Andy. Unbeknownst to me, she took him back there. Of all the toys, he picked the exact same one. Boy, when we opened that up, hey, you go, hey! We had two police cars, man, it was great. But we had a lot of fun as children. I don't remember doing this, but my parents told me that this happened, that when we were 2 or 3 years old, just, you know, barely walking around, we lived out in the country, and our house was off the main road, which was about from here to the back wall there where the mailbox was. And my mom thought, okay, I'm going to run to the mailbox and get back, and surely nothing will happen during that time. And so we're preoccupied with something. So my mom goes to the door, takes off running to the mailbox. When she comes back in, we had gone outside. We have sliding glass doors behind our house. We'd opened the sliding glass doors. There was a water hose about there. We turned it on, and we brought it in the house, started playing fireman. And we were watering down the couch and everything in the house there. And it was great. Now, my mom, just to show you, she is so sentimental. I guarantee you, your mom's not as sentimental as my mom. Yeah, and my mom can whoop your mom too, so watch you. I'll see you. Watch you up to her. But, okay, you're not going to believe this, but this is true. Okay, I'm 62 years old. You won't believe this, but I promise you it's true. My first birthday cake is still in the freezer. It's true. It doesn't taste as good as it did 60 years ago, 61 years ago. My room, where I grew up, all my clothes from my teenage years are still in all the drawers. If I ever decide to move back home, I'm good. You have to let some things out a little bit, but I remember when I was in college, and I would come home like Thanksgiving, and I'd go walk around my house. There's my bedroom. There's my old bed. There's the drawers. Same stuff still in them. I look out the window. There's my backyard. Wow, there's that tree where we used to climb with my brother all the time. I mean, I would just, a trip down memory lane, and I would start crying. Because I missed it. How many miss home? Quit complaining. But it took a long time for me to get over being away from home. And every time I'd go home, I'd walk around the yard, walk around the farm, walk around the house. I remember that. I remember this. And then when it was time to go back, I would kind of a little tear and say, "Bye, farm. Bye, house. My mommy." And so when I came to college, I left a great life. It was a great life, no complaints. I didn't leave home because, man, I can't wait to get out of this place. I didn't want to get out of that place. But when I came to college, it was a whole new ball game for me. Because now I was running with a footman. And, man, I remember getting homesick. Have you ever been homesick? How many are homesick right now? Okay, just wipe the tears away and just set up, you know, don't run out the room crying, please. I remember my first year of college, I got so homesick. I remember standing in my dorm and just thinking, I don't want to do anything right now. I don't want to eat. Now, that's serious. When I say I don't want to eat, there's something wrong. I don't want to eat. I don't want to talk to anybody. I can't think of anything I want to do except go home. That was the only desire I had. I had no other desire, and I remember sitting there thinking as a freshman, man, I just want to go back home. It's not exactly what I thought it was going to be like here. I mean, it looked exciting. Boy, all the house owners in college, I'm going to be going to college and bye everybody, bye mom, bye dad, woo-hoo. And then I got... reality kind of smacked me upside the head real hard. And I thought, man, this is different. And I remember clicking my heels together. There's no place like home. Anyway, no. Okay, never mind. If you don't get that, just forget. But as I was sitting there in tears, moaning about, I just want to go home. That's all I want to do. I remember thinking this. God, I know that's what I want to do. But deep down, I know if I do that, I'm going to be sorry. Even though that's the only thing I want to do right now. I can't think of anything else I want to do. But deep down, Lord, I know that if I do that, I'm going to wish I hadn't. Let me tell you what I did. I said, God, right here and now, I promise you, I'm going to graduate from Howells Anderson College. Because I knew if I didn't do something, that my feelings were going to lead me back where I wanted to be. But I knew it was a mistake. So I just said, Lord, I'm committing myself right here and now. I'm promising you, God, I'm going to graduate from Howells Anderson College. And I did. You know, college is so different than home. The schedule is different. I mean, you're busy. There's less time for leisure. There's all kinds of pressures. You got to join this route. You got to, how many people you bring? There's pressures everywhere. Academic pressure, ministry pressure. It's not easy. But it's necessary. Now, some of you may be, okay, we all have problems. You're going to have problems while you're at college. I don't care if you're a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. You're going to have problems. That's just life. Let me just real quickly, raise your hand if you're a freshman. See how many we got here. Okay, put your hands down. Sophomores. Okay, juniors. Okay, seniors. Okay, here's what I notice, and it's always true. There's less hands as we go along. You know why? Because it's not easy. You know where we lose most people? Freshman year. Because it's a culture shock. From home, peaceful, enjoyable. You're the hometown hero of three people in your hometown. To hectic life. What a culture shock. Some of you, it may be that you're just disillusioned. Okay. It was enjoyable at first, and yeah, this is, you know, I like this, but you know, not that big a deal now. You're kind of tired of it. Same old, chapel. Go to the ministry every day, same thing. Man, I got to do this for 4 years? Wow. If you're not careful, you get what I call the BDDD syndrome. I'm assuming you don't know what the BDDD syndrome is. Okay, I'm going to tell you if you'll just shut up and listen. BTDT, been there, done that. BDDD. Okay, now you know. But it's, you know, after a while you get this thing, you know, I've done this, I've been there, you know, and it's the excitement's, I got to go find something else more exciting. I'm going to go do something else. I'm getting kind of tired of this. And sometimes that happens like your sophomore, junior year, maybe in senior year. But everybody's different. But here's what you have to realize. Satan does not want you here. And the closer you get to that graduation day, the more he's worried about it. Because you're hurting his cause. So let me just encourage you, keep running with the footman. Is it hard? Of course it's hard. Well, they said it would be easy. That's what you get for just looking at that catalog they gave you with all the pictures of the fun things that happen. They don't tell you the truth. You guys are liars. Yeah. Are you with me? Let's get in. How many of you, at your church, a tour member came up and said, oh, you'll love Hiles Anderson College. Here's the book. Just sign this little thing. How many of you signed up with it? All right. Tour group people, raise your hand. You liars. You deceivers. Can't believe that. Here's what should have given it away. When you walked away after signing that, somebody went, that should have given it away, but nope, you came anyway, and here you are, so. Whatever you're facing, and it's different for everybody. Sometimes it's just an inside personal thing. Sometimes it's circumstances here that you're having trouble dealing with. In some cases, it may be problems at home that you're worried about. You feel like you need to be there. Although it's not going to make any difference if you were, but you want to be. I don't know what Satan's going to use to make it difficult, but you're running with the footmen, and it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. It's hard, but you need to keep running with the footmen. Because eventually, when you're done running with the footmen, you're going to be contending with the horses. You're going to be in the ministry. And I'm not trying to paint a negative picture of the ministry. I love the ministry. I've been involved in the ministry at First Baptist Church for over 40 years. I love it. Wouldn't trade it for anything. Has it been hard? Yeah, there's been some really tough times. But you know what helped me? I just kept running with the footman when I was here where you are. And I watched my friends. Some of my friends said, you know, I'm not doing this anymore. I don't have to do this. And you don't. Any of you at any time can say, okay, this is my last day. I'm done. I'm going home. And your mom is going to put her arms out. Welcome home, baby. Now, your mom may be one that says, some of you have my mom say, trot your little carcass back up. You ain't quitting. Okay? And my mom would probably have said that, but she would have had a hard time doing that. The ministry has bigger challenges. It has discouragements, but also has bigger blessings. But you are not going to see those if you don't keep running with the footmen. Let me give you three quick lessons and we'll be done. Number one, you must, and I emphasize must, go through difficulties in order to be used of God and receive bigger blessings. There's no shortcuts. You say, well, I've got a lot of talent and ability, and I'm just gonna take off and start preaching revivals, and because people like to hear me, and I can wax eloquent, and I've got this, you know, people look at me and admire me, and I've just got this ability. Good luck with that. Because you know who you mainly need? You need God. My life verse, my class, I started to say they know that, but they're still working on it. Psalm 57:2, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. With God, you're nothing. And part of God's training for you to do his will and to receive the blessings that are just out there beyond your imagination, you've got to keep running with the footmen. Now, it's your choice. And like I said, some of you may decide here at Thanksgiving, you know, I'm done with this footman stuff. Especially you get home and you smell your mom's cooking. Not as good as the college, but it's okay. And you think, man, I love home. And you should. There's something wrong with you if you don't love home. I still love home. My parents, praise the Lord, they're still living. I go and visit, they're in their 80s. I go and visit my mom and dad. I love going there. But I'm not going back to live. And I'm glad I didn't go back when I was in college. You must go through difficulties in order to be used of God and receive bigger blessings. Number two, don't be surprised when problems come. I'm going to have you look at another passage here, one more passage. Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4, verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. You know what some of you are thinking? Man, I didn't know it was going to be like this. What's going on? I didn't have these kind of problems back home. I didn't go through anything like this. What is going on? Here I decide to do the will of God, and I surrender, and I come to Hiles Anderson College. You know, I want God to use me, and boom. What's God doing? What's he allowing? Why did he let that happen to me? What in the world? I mean, all my life, all the years growing up, nothing like this ever happened to me, and all of a sudden, boom, this happens. God says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try, as though some strange thing can happen to you. Verse 13, but rejoice, insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. Now, if you go home and stay home and quit running with the footmen, you might feel better now. Probably will. You know, definitely be a lot easier. But think about this. What's it going to be like when you stand before Jesus someday? And that friend that stayed and kept running with the footman and ended up contending with the horses, Jesus says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, when people go to war, war is terrible. We just heard the man that spoke of, that was in Vietnam, and the horrors of war. It's terrible. But when people make it through it and they come back, people respect those stories like, wow, man, look at that guy. I had a friend of mine that during the Vietnam War, that he was a little older than me. He ran to Canada so he wouldn't have to go to the war. Think he has anything to talk about with his children? So don't be surprised when it's tough, because it's going to be. Then the last thing, you must keep going in order to see God's hand in your life. You have to. You know where the blessings come? When you go through a troubled time and you think, man, what in the world? Why? But you say, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand this. It makes no sense to me. But I know you love me and I know you're right and I'm not going to quit. God, please help me. Teach me from this, but I ain't quitting. And you keep doing that. Every time the trials come, you will see the blessings of God. God took me way beyond my dreams a long time ago. I was a shy kid. I know you don't believe that, but I was a shy kid. Even in high school, I was shy. To get up and give a speech in front of somebody was horrible. I would write it all down, read it word for word, and never look up one time. I bit my fingernails as a kid all the way through college. Now I go to the salon, and yeah, I saw you there too, buddy. And just keep running with the foot. But it's hard. I didn't know it was going to be like this. The catalog lied. The tour groups lied. Anthony Collins lied. Yeah, he's a liar. Look at him. I'm just glad he stayed awake. And yeah, it's going to be hard. But just keep running with the footman. Be glad you did, I promise you. Father, thank you, Lord, for helping me. Because, God, I didn't want to run with the footman. I got tired of it, Lord. I got homesick. And, God, I wanted to call it quits. But, God, thank you for doing something inside of me that made me just stay here. I'm so glad I did. God, I pray that, Lord, you'll work in someone's heart today. Lord, maybe someone's thinking about, you know, this is it. I'm done. I just can't take some more. Lord, help them just to keep running with the footman. Help them to look for the light at the end of the tunnel. Help them to look down the road and see what could happen with their life if they'll just keep running with the footman. Please.